All right, let's dive into this AI stuff, global policy and all that. You guys requested a look at how the US, EU, and China are all tackling this, and
It's a bit of a whirlwind.
yeah, seriously. I mean, the sources you sent, it's like a grab bag of everything.
Well, in a way, that makes sense, doesn't it?
I guess so. We've got like a US executive order right next to what, a Chinese national strategy document. Then there's all this academic stuff comparing the US-China AI race.
Race battle. They really like those terms, huh?
Yeah, it makes it sound intense. Oh, and we can't forget those legal papers comparing ethics frameworks for AI.
Right, because everyone's got a different idea of what's ethical, it seems.
Totally. And just to throw something completely different in, there's even a report from Korea all about AI and infrastructure.
That's actually a really good illustration of what we're dealing with here.
How so?
It's not just coincidence we've got such a hodgepodge of sources. AI is becoming so central to everything, it's popping up everywhere.
So, like, our Mission Impossible this time is to make sense of all this.
Basically, cut through the jargon, figure out who the big players are, what they want, and what it all means for, the average person listening.
Right, because at the end of the day, this AI stuff, it's not just about some tech companies battling it out. This is going to affect everyone.
Exactly. Okay, so I guess the first question is, why all the fuss now? I mean, AI's been around for a while, hasn't it? Why are we suddenly seeing all these policies and strategies popping up like mushrooms after the rain?
Yeah, it feels like it went from science fiction to like the top story on the news overnight. What changed?
I think it boils down to this. The pace of change in AI right now is just mind-blowing. It's no longer a theoretical thing. It's reshaping our world, like as we speak.
Like that Chinese strategy document we talked about, the one with that crazy quote about AI ushering in a whole new phase of human development.
Exactly. And they're not just talking about like self-driving cars or whatever. They're talking about AI transforming everything from the economy to, get this, national defense.
Yeah, that's not something you hear every day. So it's not just about cool gadgets and making our lives easier then.
Not even close. This is about the jobs we'll have, the choices we'll get to make, even the literal cities we live in. Everything is on the table right now.
Speaking of things being on the table, the sources you sent, they kept using some pretty dramatic language to describe what's going on between the US and China. Like, AI race, battle for dominance.
Yeah, that's not exactly subtle, is it?
It makes you wonder what's really going on behind the scenes, right? Eh? Like,
Yeah.
are we on the brink of some kind of AI Cold War?
Well, it's definitely a competition. That much is clear. The U.S. seems to be banking on its private sector to take the lead. The whole Silicon Valley innovation-first approach.
Okay, so hands off, let the tech companies run wild. But how does that square with all this talk about national security and stuff?
They're not ignoring it completely.
Yeah.
The focus seems to be on protecting rights and safety while also making sure the U.S. stays ahead of the game.
So basically, trying to have their cake and eat it too. Meanwhile, China's doing things a little differently, right?
Oh, yeah, completely opposite approach. It's much more top-down, state-led.
Yeah.
They've got these ambitious targets set for 2030. They want to be the global leader in AI.
Ambitious is an understatement.
Yeah.
And they're actually pouring tons of resources into it, right? Like, it's not just empty talk.
Definitely not. They see AI as like this essential tool for their economic and social development. It's woven into everything.
So we've got two totally different philosophies clashing here, and we're seeing it play out in the real world too, right?
Absolutely. Like, remember that whole thing with the U.S. banning the export of high-end AI chips to China?
Oh, yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Basically, trying to hamstring their development, right?
Pretty much. But then again, the sources also point out that China's already miles ahead of the U.S. in some areas, like facial recognition tech. They've got access to mountains of data, and they're not as squeamish about privacy.
It's almost like they're playing different games with different rules. So, who's actually winning this AI race? It's hard to say, isn't it?
It really is. Each approach has its strengths and weaknesses. The U.S. might be great at innovation, but are they falling behind in implementation? China might be moving fast, but are they stifling individual creativity? It's a tough call.
And then there's the EU, right? They're like the third player in this game, but they're not even trying to play by the same rules. They're all about ethics, human rights, like they're almost trying to slow things down.
It's a very different vibe, that's for sure. Their whole AI act, it's like a protective measure, They're focused on making sure AI doesn't harm people, that it's used responsibly.
So while the US and China are off to the races, the EU is saying, hey, hold on a second, let's make sure we're not creating a monster here.
Exactly. And there's this one paper you sent, it points out something really ironic. The US, the birthplace of so many tech giants, is actually LSS regulated on AI than the EU. Makes you think, huh?
Talk about a plot twist. All right, so we've got these three big players, each with their own approach, their own goals. But let's get down to brass tacks here. What are some of the actual regulations coming out of all this? What do people need to know?
Well, both the U.S. executive order and that Chinese strategy doc, they actually get pretty specific about some things. Like the U.S., they're putting a huge emphasis on cybersecurity, secure software development, AI red teams to test for vulnerabilities. It's serious stuff.
Wait, AI red teams? That sounds kind of cool. Like, are these like ethical hackers for AI or something?
Exactly. They try to break into AI systems to find weaknesses before the bad guys do. And it's not just digital security they're worried about either. The executive order even talks about biosecurity, you know, especially with AI being used in things like gene editing.
Hold on, AI messing with our DNA, isn't that getting a little sci-fi?
It might sound like it, but it's a real concern. The potential for misuse is huge, and the U.S. is taking it seriously. They're investing in research to understand the risks and figure out how to mitigate them.
Okay, so it's not just about preventing AI from becoming self-aware and turning on us. It's also about making sure it doesn't accidentally unleash some kind of global pandemic.
Right. And actually, China's strategy document also talks about biosecurity. They're worried about AI being used to create dangerous synthetic nucleic acids, you know, the building blocks of life.
Wait, synthetic what now?
Basically, lab-made DNA and RNA sequences. They have huge potential for good, but also for harm.
So China's worried that AI could be used to create, like, designer viruses or something?
It's a possibility they're definitely not ignoring. They're mandating strict screening measures for companies working with these synthetic nucleic acids.
Wow, that's intense. It's like background checks for DNA.
Exactly. These are powerful tools, and they know it. And this is just one small example of how AI regulations are already starting to shape the world around us. We're talking about ripple effects across entire industries.
So this isn't just some abstract debate anymore. This is real stuff that's happening right now. It makes you wonder, how are these rules going to affect the things we use every day? Like, what about those AI tools that can write essays and code, like ChatGPT? What's going to happen to those?
That's a great question. And actually, the U.S. government can't just ban them outright. The executive order specifically says they have to find ways to use them safely and effectively.
So no more knee-jerk reactions, just shutting things down because they're scary?
It seems that way. They're pushing for a more nuanced approach, understanding the risks, implementing safeguards, but also finding ways to harness these tools for good.
Makes sense, I guess. I mean, AI tools like ChatGPT, they have so much potential. Imagine the possibilities in education, research, even art. To just toss it all away because we're afraid would be a shame.
Absolutely. So the U.S. is putting a lot of effort into figuring out how to detect and prevent the spread of AI-generated misinformation. And they're also looking into watermarking AI-generated content so you can tell it apart from human-created stuff.
So, like, giving AI creations a digital fingerprint, you'd know right away if that song or that article was made by a human or a machine.
Exactly. And China's also on board with that, according to their strategy document. It looks like watermarking might become the global standard for dealing with AI-generated content.
Interesting. It's like we're writing a whole new chapter in the story of copyright and authorship, but this time, machines are involved.
Exactly. It's uncharted territory, but we're figuring it out as we go. And of course, there's the whole issue of the global workforce. A lot of people are worried about losing their jobs to machines.
Yeah, it feels like every other day there's a new article about robots taking over the world. It's scary stuff.
I get it. It's understandable to feel anxious. But it's important to remember that AI isn't just about replacing jobs. It's also creating new opportunities. It's not a simple equation of AI in, humans out.
So it's not just a zero-sum game. AI is changing the rules entirely.
Precisely. The key is to adapt and evolve. Invest in education and training programs that give people the skills they need to succeed in an AI-powered world.
Instead of trying to fight the tide, we need to learn to surf it.
I like that analogy. And that brings me to a point that often gets overlooked in these discussions, the role of the Global South. Most of the sources we've looked at, they focus on the U.S., the EU, China. But what about the rest of the world? AI is a global phenomenon. It's going to impact everyone.
It's easy to get caught up in the big players, but AI is going to touch billions of lives beyond Silicon Valley and Beijing.
Exactly. And we need to think about what AI means for developing countries. The challenges and opportunities might be very different. We can't just assume a one-size-fits-all approach will work.
So we need to be careful about imposing Western-centric ideas about AI on the rest of the world.
Absolutely. For example, access to resources like data, computing power, technical expertise, those things are often limited in developing countries. This could create a digital divide where the benefits of AI are concentrated in the hands of a select few.
That would be a tragedy if AI just ends up widening the gap between the haves and the have-nots.
I agree. And it's not just about access to technology either. We also have to consider the cultural and social implications of AI in different contexts. AI isn't neutral. It reflects the values and assumptions of its creators.
Right. So if AI is mostly developed in the West, it's going to reflect Western values, which might not align with the needs and priorities of other cultures.
Exactly. We need to make sure that AI development is inclusive and representative of the diversity of human experience.
So how do we do that? How do we make sure the Global South has a voice in shaping the future of AI?
Well, for starters, we need to support initiatives that are building AI capacity in developing countries. Give them access to education, training, resources.
It's about empowering people to develop their own AI solutions tailored to their specific needs and contexts.
Precisely. And it also means creating platforms for dialogue and collaboration between AI experts from all over the world. Share knowledge, share expertise, make sure everyone benefits from advances in the field.
It's about building bridges, not walls.
Mm.
Making sure AI is a force that unites us, not divides us.
Exactly. And on that note, let's talk about the role of governments in all of this. We've talked about regulations, but they also have a key role to play in supporting AI innovation.
Right, because AI is going to be a major driver of economic growth and social progress in the years to come. Governments can't just sit back and watch this happen.
Absolutely. They can accelerate progress by investing in research and development, providing incentives for AI startups, creating a supportive regulatory environment. It's about setting the stage for AI to flourish.
So, like, they're creating the fertile soil where AI can take root and grow.
Exactly. And we're seeing this play out in both the U.S. and China. They're pouring resources into AI research and development, creating hubs to attract talent and investment. It's like a global AI arms race.
But instead of building weapons, they're competing to develop the most advanced AI technologies.
You could say that. And it's a competition that could benefit everyone if it's done right. The more we invest in AI research and development, the faster we'll see breakthroughs that can help us solve some of the world's biggest problems.
So it's not just about national pride or economic dominance. It's about unlocking the potential of AI to make the world a better place.
Exactly. And that brings us to another interesting point. The U.S. government isn't just being told to regulate AI. They're actually being encouraged to embrace it.
Wait, really? So it's not all about restrictions and red tape.
The executive order actually emphasizes the need for government agencies to find ways to use AI safely and effectively, you know, to improve their operations and better serve the public.
So they're saying, hey, government, you can't just stand on the sidelines and watch this happen. You need to get in the game.
Exactly. They're calling for training programs to educate government employees about AI, give them the skills to use it effectively.
So creating a workforce of AI-savvy civil servants, that's an interesting idea.
And they're encouraging agencies to find innovative ways to use AI to improve service delivery, reduce costs, increase efficiency.
AI streamlining government bureaucracy and making it more responsive to citizens. I'll believe it when I see it.
It's definitely ambitious, but it's worth striving for. Imagine if we could harness AI to make government work better for everyone.
It's like using AI to upgrade the operating system of government itself.
That's a great way to put it. And it's not just about internal operations either. The executive order also highlights the potential for AI to help us address broader social challenges. You know, things like improving healthcare outcomes, developing sustainable energy solutions, tackling climate change.
Wait, are we saying AI could actually help us solve some of the biggest problems facing humanity?
That's the hope. And it's something that governments all over the world are starting to realize.
It sounds like we're at a real turning point in the evolution of AI, a time of incredible potential, but also real risk. It's like we're standing at a crossroads, and the choices we make now will shape the course of the future.
Absolutely. And it's up to all of us to make sure that AI is used for good, that its benefits are shared widely.
That's a powerful message. And it brings up an important question for our listeners. What role do you think the government should play in shaping the future of AI? Should it be a cheerleader, a regulator, or something in between? Take a moment to consider that as we dive into a topic that's near and dear to my heart, the impact of AI on education.
Both the U.S. and Chinese documents emphasized the importance of investing in AI education and training in order to prepare the workforce for the jobs of the future.
Right. We can't just expect people to magically adapt to an AI-powered world. We need to equip them with the tools and knowledge to thrive.
Exactly. And that starts with education. We need to integrate AI concepts and skills into school curricula from elementary school all the way up to higher education.
So no more treating computer science as a separate subject. AI needs to be woven into the fabric of learning.
Precisely. And it's not just about teaching people how to code. It's about helping them understand how AI works, its potential applications, but also its ethical implications.
So we need to raise a generation of AI-savvy citizens who can think critically about the impact of AI on their lives and make informed decisions about how it's used.
Exactly. And it's not just about preparing young people for the workforce either. We also need to provide opportunities for adults to reskill and upskill.
Because AI is going to disrupt almost every industry in the coming years, we need to make sure everyone has the chance to adapt and thrive.
Absolutely. And that's where governments and educational institutions come in. They can provide funding for training programs, create partnerships with industry to develop relevant curricula, and make lifelong learning opportunities more accessible.
It's exciting to think about how AI could transform education. Personalized learning, real-time feedback, maybe even automating some of the more tedious tasks teachers have to deal with right now.
Indeed. And it could also help us democratize access to education, making it available to people who might not have had the opportunity before.
So AI could help us create a more just and equitable world, at least when it comes to education. That's definitely a vision worth fighting for.
Absolutely. But of course, we have to be realistic. There are concerns about the potential downsides of AI in education, too.
Like what? What are people worried about?
Well, some folks are worried about AI creating a surveillance state in schools, tracking students' every move and thought.
Yeah, that's a little creepy. Nobody wants to feel like they're constantly being watched and judged by machines.
Exactly. And others are worried that AI could actually worsen inequalities in education. If we use algorithms to make decisions about student placement or funding, they could end up perpetuating and even amplifying existing biases.
It's a double-edged sword. We need to be really careful about how we implement AI in education. It should empower students and teachers, not control them.
I couldn't agree more. And we need to make sure teachers, students, and parents are all part of the conversation about how AI is used in education. It needs to be a tool that serves humanity, not the other way around.
It seems pretty clear that we're just at the beginning of a long and complicated journey when it comes to AI and education.
Absolutely. The implications are huge, and they'll keep evolving as AI technology itself advances.
It makes you wonder, how do you envision the future of education in an AI-powered world? What role should AI play? Think about that for a second as we shift gears to a sector where AI is already making waves. Infrastructure.
That Korean report you sent, it really dives deep into this. It highlights the transformative potential of AI in everything from transportation to energy grids.
Right. AI optimizing traffic flow, predicting and preventing power outages, even designing infrastructure that can withstand natural disasters.
It's mind-blowing to think about. Imagine AI-powered sensors monitoring bridges and tunnels, letting engineers know about problems before they become catastrophic.
So no more bridge collapses. Sign me up.
Exactly. Or think about AI optimizing traffic signals in real time, cutting down on congestion, making things more fuel efficient.
Goodbye rush hour, hello smooth sailing, what else?
Well, what about AI-powered smart grids that balance energy supply and demand? That could help us reduce our reliance on fossil fuels and move toward a more sustainable future.
So we're talking about a greener, cleaner, more efficient world. That sounds almost too good to be true.
It's certainly a promising vision, but you know, like with anything, there are challenges and concerns to consider.
Right. There's no such thing as a free lunch, especially when it comes to technology.
Exactly. For one thing, there's the issue of cost. Implementing AI-powered infrastructure requires a huge upfront investment, which might be too much for some countries or cities.
Because AI doesn't run on good intentions. It runs on money.
Right. And then there's data security and privacy. AI-powered infrastructure relies on tons of data, which could be vulnerable to hacking or misuse.
We've got to make sure these systems are secure and that our personal data is protected. We don't want to end up living in some kind of surveillance society where our every move is tracked and analyzed.
Exactly. And then there's the whole question of control. Who will have access to the data collected by these AI-powered systems? Who makes the decisions about how that data is used?
With great power comes great responsibility. We need to make sure the power of AI in infrastructure is used wisely and ethically.
Absolutely. These are all critical questions that need to be thought through very carefully as we move toward an AI-powered future. It's not just about the technology itself, it's about the social, ethical, and political implications of how we use it.
So, listeners, it's time to put on your thinking caps. Take a look around your own community. How could AI be used to improve the infrastructure where you live? And what are the potential risks and challenges we need to be mindful of? We'll be back in a moment to explore these questions further.
It's kind of wild to see how these regulations are playing out, you know, in the real world. Like, the U.S. is really pushing for this rigorous security testing for AI systems, especially for the ones that could be used for both good or bad.
What do you mean?
They're called dual-use foundational models, which basically means they can be used for, like, amazing things, but also potentially really harmful stuff.
So, like, an AI that could cure cancer, but also design some kind of super virus. That's a scary thought.
Right. That's why they're putting so much emphasis on those AI red teams. Remember those? Like, ethical hackers. But for AI.
Oh, yeah, the ones who try to break into AI systems before the bad guys do.
Exactly. And it's not just digital security, either. The executive order, it specifically talks about biosecurity, too. Especially when it comes to AI being used in things like gene editing.
Hold on, AI messing with our DNA? That sounds like something straight out of a movie.
I know, right? But it's something we got to think about. That potential for misuse is real, and the U.S. is definitely not ignoring it. They're putting a lot of resources into researching these risks and figuring out how to prevent them.
So it's not just about stopping AI from, like, becoming self-aware and taking over the world. It's also about making sure it doesn't accidentally cause a global pandemic or something.
Exactly. And actually, the Chinese strategy document mentions biosecurity, too. They're worried about AI being used to create dangerous synthetic nucleic acids. Remember those?
Vaguely. Remind me.
Basically, artificially created DNA and RNA sequences, like the building blocks of life, but made in a lab.
So, like, custom-made DNA. And China's worried AI could be used to make dangerous versions of that.
Right. They're making sure there are strict screening measures for companies working with this stuff, you know, to make sure it doesn't fall into the wrong hands.
Wow, it's like a background check for DNA. That's pretty wild.
It's a whole new world, that's for sure. And these are just a couple of examples of how AI regulations are actually impacting things in the real world. We're seeing changes happening across industries. It's pretty remarkable.
So this isn't just some theoretical debate anymore. AI regulation is shaping the world around us, even if we don't realize it. Which makes me think, how is all this going to affect those AI tools we were talking about before, like ChatGPT, the ones that can write essays and code?
That's a great question. And here's something interesting. The U.S. government can't just ban those tools outright. The executive order specifically says they need to find ways to use them safely and effectively.
So no more knee-jerk reactions, just shutting things down because they seem scary.
Seems like they're taking a more nuanced approach now. It's about understanding the risks, yeah, but also finding ways to use these tools for good.
Makes sense, I guess. I mean, those AI tools have so much potential. Imagine what we could do with them in education, research, even art. To just throw it all away because we're a little freaked out would be a shame.
Totally agree. So the U.S. is investing a lot in research to figure out how to detect and prevent AI-generated misinformation from spreading. And they're also looking into watermarking AI-generated content so you can tell it apart from human-created stuff.
So, like, giving AI creations a digital fingerprint.
Exactly. You'd know instantly if that song or that article was made by a human or machine.
And yeah.
Exactly. And you know what? China's on board with that, too, based on their national strategy document. It looks like watermarking might become the global standard for dealing with all this AI-generated content.
Makes sense, right? We need to be able to hold AI accountable for what it creates, just like we do with human creators. It's a whole new chapter in the story of copyright and authorship. But this time, machines are involved.
Right. It's pretty wild. Oh, and speaking of wild, what about the impact on the workforce? Lots of people are freaking out about losing their jobs to machines.
Yeah, it's like every other week there's a new headline about robots taking over. It's a little unnerving.
It's understandable to be nervous. But it's important to remember that AI isn't just about replacing human jobs. It's also creating new opportunities. It's not as simple as robots in, humans out.
So it's not a zero-sum game.
Exactly. AI is changing the rules of the game completely. We need to adapt. Invest in education and training programs that teach people the skills they need to thrive in an AI-powered world.
So instead of trying to fight the tide, we need to learn how to surf.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
And that brings up something that often gets overlooked in these discussions, the role of the Global South. Most of the sources we looked at focus on the US, the EU, and China. But what about everyone else? Yeah. AI is a global thing. It's going to affect everybody.
Right. It's easy to get caught up in the big players, but AI is going to impact billions of lives beyond Silicon Valley and Beijing.
Absolutely. We need to consider what AI means for developing countries. The challenges and opportunities might be completely different. We can't just assume that what works in the US or China will work everywhere.
So maybe we need to be a little careful about imposing Western-centric ideas about AI on the rest of the world.
Totally. Think about it. Access to resources like data, computing power, technical expertise. Those things are often limited in developing countries. This could create a digital divide where all the benefits of AI end up concentrated in the hands of a few.
That would be awful. It would be a real shame if AI just ended up making the gap between the haves and the have-nots even bigger.
I agree. And it's not just about access to technology either. We also need to think about the cultural and social implications of AI in different places. AI isn't neutral. It reflects the values of whoever created it.
Right. So if most AI is being developed in the West, it's going to reflect Western values, which might not line up with what people in other cultures need or want.
Exactly. We need to make sure that AI development is inclusive, you know, that it represents everyone's experiences and perspectives.
So how do we do that? How do we make sure the Global South gets a say in all this?
Well, one way is to support those initiatives that are building AI capacity in developing countries, giving them access to education, training, and resources.
It's about empowering people to build their own AI solutions, tailored to their own needs and context.
Precisely. And it also means creating spaces for dialogue and collaboration between AI experts from all over the world. Share knowledge, share expertise, make sure everybody benefits from advances in AI.
It's about building bridges, not walls, making sure AI brings people together instead of dividing them further.
Exactly. And speaking of building things, let's talk about the role of governments in supporting AI innovation. We've talked about regulations, but they also have a big part to play in helping AI grow and develop.
Right. AI is going to be a huge driver of economic growth and social progress in the coming years. Governments can't just sit back and watch.
Absolutely. They can invest in research and development, provide incentives for AI startups, and create regulations that help AI flourish. It's about creating a supportive environment for AI to thrive.
So it's like they're creating the soil where AI can take root and grow.
Exactly. And we're seeing this happen in both the US and China. They're pouring resources into AI research and development, building hubs to attract talent and investment. It's almost like a global AI arms race.
But instead of building weapons, they're competing to develop the most advanced AI technologies.
You could say that.
Yeah.
And it's a competition that could benefit everyone if we do it right. The more we invest in AI, the faster we'll see those breakthroughs that can help us solve some of the world's biggest problems.
So it's not just about national pride or economic dominance. It's about using AI to make the world a better place.
Exactly. And that brings up another interesting point. The U.S. government isn't just being told to regulate AI. They're also being encouraged to use it.
Wait, really? It's not all doom and gloom and restrictions?
Nope. The executive order actually highlights the importance of using AI safely and effectively in government agencies to improve their operations and better serve the public.
So they're saying, hey, government, you can't just sit on the sidelines. You got to get in the game, too.
Exactly. They're calling for training programs to help government employees understand and use AI effectively.
So building an AI-savvy civil service, that's a cool idea.
It is. And they want agencies to come up with creative ways to use AI to deliver better services, cut costs, and be more efficient.
AI streamlining government bureaucracy and making things actually work for people. I'd love to see that happen.
Right. It's definitely a big goal, but it's worth shooting for. If we can harness AI to make government better, it could have a huge positive impact on everybody's lives.
It's like upgrading the operating system of government itself, using AI to make the whole thing run smoother and better.
That's a great way to put it. And it's not just about internal stuff either. The executive order also talks about using AI to address bigger social challenges like healthcare, sustainable energy, even climate change.
Whoa, are we saying AI could actually help us solve some of the most serious problems facing humanity?
That's definitely the hope. And governments around the world are starting to recognize that potential.
It really does feel like we're at a turning point with AI. So much potential, but also real risks. It's like we're at a crossroads, and the choices we make now will determine what the future looks like.
I totally agree. We need to make sure AI is used for good. that everyone benefits from it.
That's a great point, and it raises an important question for our listeners. What role do you think the government should play in shaping the future of AI? Should they be encouraging it, regulating it, or finding some balance in between? Think about that for a minute while we shift gears and look at how AI is impacting education.
Both the US and Chinese documents we talked about earlier, they highlight the importance of investing in AI education and training, you know, getting the workforce ready for the future.
Right, because we can't just expect people to magically adapt to an AI-powered world. We need to give them the skills and knowledge they need.
Exactly. And that starts with education. We need to bring AI into the classroom, from elementary school all the way to university.
So no more treating computer science as some separate geeky subject. AI needs to be a part of everything kids learn.
Exactly. And it's not just about teaching kids how to code. It's about helping them understand how AI works, what it can do, and the ethical questions it raises.
So we're talking about creating a generation of AI-savvy citizens who can think critically about the impact of AI on their lives.
Precisely. And it's not just about young people and the future workforce either. We need to give adults opportunities to learn new skills and adapt to.
Right. AI is going to change pretty much every industry. Everyone needs a chance to keep up and thrive.
I completely agree. That's where governments and educational institutions need to step up. Fund training programs, work with companies to create useful courses, make lifelong learning more accessible.
It's exciting to imagine how AI could change education for the better. Personalized learning, real-time feedback, maybe even getting rid of some of that boring, busy work teachers have to deal with now.
I know, right? And think about how AI could make education accessible to people who haven't had the chance to learn before.
So we could create a fairer and more equitable world through AI-powered education. That's something I could get behind.
Me too. But of course, we need to be realistic. There are some downsides to consider too.
Like what? What are people worried about?
Some folks are concerned about AI creating a surveillance state in schools, tracking every move students make, and even what they're thinking.
Yikes, that's a bit creepy. Nobody wants to feel like they're constantly being watched and judged by machines.
For sure. And then there's the worry that AI could actually make inequality in education worse. If algorithms are making decisions about which students get into which schools or who gets funding, they could just end up reinforcing existing biases.
So it's a double-edged sword, right? We need to be really careful about how we use AI in education. It should empower students and teachers, not control them.
Exactly. We need to make sure teachers, students, and parents all have a say in how AI is used in schools. We have to keep AI as a tool that serves us, not the other way around.
It's clear we're just at the beginning of figuring out AI in education. It's a long road ahead.
Definitely. It's a huge topic, and it's going to keep changing as AI technology develops.
It makes you wonder, how do you think education will look in an AI-powered world? What role should AI play? Think about that while we turn our attention to a sector where AI is already making a big impact. Infrastructure.
That Korean report you sent, it really gets into this, highlighting how AI could totally transform things like transportation systems and energy grids.
Right. AI optimizing traffic flow, predicting power outages before they happen, even designing infrastructure that can withstand natural disasters.
The possibilities are mind-blowing. Imagine AI-powered sensors keeping an eye on bridges and tunnels, letting engineers know if there's a problem before it turns into a disaster.
So no more bridge collapses. I'd be happy about that.
Exactly. Or think about AI adjusting traffic signals in real time, reducing traffic jams and making things more fuel efficient.
Say goodbye to rush hour, hello to smooth sailing.
Right. And what about AI-powered smart grids that can balance energy supply and demand? That would be huge for moving away from fossil fuels and building a more sustainable future.
So we're talking about a greener, cleaner, more efficient world. That sounds almost too good to be true.
It's a pretty exciting vision, but like with anything, there are some challenges to think about too.
Right. No technological advancement comes without its downsides.
Exactly. First off, there's the cost. Setting up all this AI-powered infrastructure would require a huge initial investment, which might be out of reach for some places.
Because AI doesn't run on good intentions alone. It needs money to work.
Right. And then there's data security and privacy. AI-powered infrastructure depends on massive amounts of data, which could be vulnerable to hacking or misuse.
You need to make sure those systems are secure and our personal data is protected. The last thing we want is to end up living in a surveillance society where every move is being tracked and analyzed.
I hear ya. And then there's the big question of control. Who has access to all the data these AI systems collect? And who gets to decide how that data is used?
It's like they say, with great power comes great responsibility. We need to make sure the power of AI and infrastructure is used responsibly and ethically.
I couldn't agree more. These are some big questions we need to answer as we move toward an AI-powered future. It's not just about the tech. It's about the social, ethical, and political consequences, too.
So, listeners, what do you think? Take a look around your own community. How could AI be used to improve things, and what are the potential downsides we need to be careful about? We'll dig into these questions after a quick break. All right, so we've talked about AI in everything from, like, national security to education to the streets we drive on. But there's this one thing that keeps popping up, and I think it's worth digging into a bit more.
I know what you mean. It's like all these AI regulations, no matter where they're coming from, they're forcing us to ask, who's really in control here?
It's like AI is making us rethink how power works in the world. Kind of freaky, if you ask me.
It is a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
As these AI systems get smarter and start making more decisions on their own, we need to figure out some ground rules. How are they used? Who's responsible when things go wrong? And honestly, how much power are we willing to give them?
Right, because if we're not careful, we could end up in a world run by algorithms, and that's not exactly a comforting thought.
I hear you. And it's interesting because both the U.S. and China seem to be wrestling with this, even though they have such different approaches to AI.
So you're saying even though they're kind of competing in this AI race, they both agree that humans need to be the ones calling the shots?
That seems to be the consensus.
Yeah.
The U.S. is pushing for these AI risk management frameworks to help government agencies figure out how to use these systems safely and responsibly.
So like a rule book for AI, making sure things like transparency and accountability are built in from the start.
Exactly. And on the other side of the world, China's strategy document talks about controllable AI.
Controllable AI sounds a bit like something out of a sci-fi movie, but I guess it makes sense, right? Nobody wants to create something they can't control. But what does that actually mean? How do you make AI controllable?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
The Chinese document is a little vague on the details, but it seems to be about making sure AI aligns with human values and that we can override or shut it down if needed.
So no robot uprisings, no AI taking over the world.
That's the idea. But how to actually pull that off, especially as AI keeps getting more powerful, that's a whole other challenge.
Right. It's easy to say we want to be in control, but actually doing it, that's a whole different ballgame.
And it raises some tough questions. Who gets to decide what controllable even means? How do we enforce those controls? We're talking about some fundamental questions about power and who has it in an AI-driven world.
Wow, you're getting philosophical on me now. It's like AI is making us rethink what it even means to be human.
You got it. These are big questions, and we're only starting to scratch the surface. There are no easy answers, and honestly, we're going to need to work together globally if we want to figure this out.
Because AI doesn't care about borders, right? What one country does can affect the whole world.
Exactly. We need global cooperation to understand the risks and opportunities of AI and to create some international rules and standards.
Sounds like a tall order, but hey, if we can pull it off, it'll be worth it.
I agree.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into AI regulations and innovations. We covered a lot, but it feels like we've just scratched the surface of this whole AI thing.
Yeah, it's a huge topic. From global power struggles to the future of our cities, AI is changing everything, and we're still just figuring it all out.
It can be overwhelming, but I think the big takeaway here is that understanding AI isn't just for techies anymore. It's important for all of us, you know, if we want to be informed citizens in a world that's becoming more and more driven by AI.
And it's not about picking sides in some AI race. It's about having honest conversations about the values and principles that should guide how we develop and use AI.
We need to ask the tough questions, challenge assumptions, and really think about what kind of future we want to build with AI.
Because at the end of the day, the future of AI is up to us.
So, listeners, we encourage you to keep digging into this, check out the sources we mentioned, find some new ones, and don't be afraid to ask those big, tough questions. The more informed we all are, the better equipped we'll be to deal with the challenges and opportunities of AI.
And one last thought to leave you with. We've talked about the potential dangers of AI, but what about its potential to make us better? Could AI help us become more compassionate, more creative, more connected to each other and the world?
That's a question worth pondering. Maybe the answer isn't to be afraid of AI, but to embrace its potential to help us become the best versions of ourselves. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.